Shibley Quarterman is my guest this episode. Shibley was nice enough to come in with basically relatively no advance notice. I saw some pictures of her. She's a comic, she's a comedian, as well as a model and actress. I thought she was kind of quirky and funny, and she's a little bit newer, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool to have her on. She seems like she's unique. And I had her on. She's like, yeah, I'd love to do it. And then she showed up. She lives relatively close here to where I live. Jumped her in, strapped her in. Jumped her in like she's in a gang. Strapped her into the old chair, and we did our thing. Shibley's awesome. She had she's really open. We talk a ton about – I mean, it's funny because I forget because I'm 35, even though I'm still relatively in the game about certain things. I forget that about how it used to be when you're just totally single and tearing off partner after partner in New York City, and you're not, you know, no one wants to use a rubber. Like, it's funny, we kind of fell into that conversation about kind of what it means to be a woman in New York City and the situations you get put in with dating. And it was an interesting insight on her part that I haven't heard in a long time, and I kind of forgot about. I mean, I didn't forget about dating. I know this stuff happens, but I think the stuff she was saying is stuff that I haven't thought about in a while because I just haven't been in the game like that in a while. So that being said, I had a great time. She's a lot of fun. I think you're really going to like her. And that's enough out of me. Just listen. Yeah. Oh, this is a great day. Very lucky, man. I'm the luckiest man. And I'm very lucky because I get to sit here and stare at the lovely Shibley Quarterman, comic, actress. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
It's very exciting times, right?
So exciting on this gray, dreary day.
So to give everybody some context out there about what me and Shibley are doing today, I've never met her, ever. Mm-mm. I only know her through photographs and then literally through a leap of faith, reached out, and in a matter of 27 hours... she's in front of me now. It's the magic of the intranets.
It's amazing.
So Shibley's a comic. She's an actress. All that jazz. And I saw her on a modeling website. And I saw some of her stuff. And I said, oh, she might fit in great with the podcast.
Yeah.
So you're here.
Yes.
And you're of mixed race.
I am.
What is those mixes?
Well, my dad is English. From England, like pasty blonde. And my mom is Afro-Puerto Rican.
So, okay, so Afro-Puerto Rican. I've heard of Afro-Cubana. Is that a similar
situation? Yeah, it's like from a Hispanic country with African roots. Like a black person who speaks Spanish, pretty much.
Were you raised by your mom or both parents? Or
by both, luckily,
do you get along
with
them both?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? When people tell me, like, because I've been a stand-up for a long time, and I've trained improv, like, all the levels of, like, UCB. I have an improv job, so I'm not, just to give everybody background, I'm not sheen on improv, because obviously I make some of my money from it, so I have to love it. But there's something about stand-up where usually people who are miserable, which I fit in perfectly there, become stand-ups, right? That's just kind of like, that's kind of a no-brainer. So you're saying that your upbringing and your family were cool. You just happened to stumble down being a fucking comic. Yeah. But you know what, though? I watched some of your reel and stuff like that, and you're kind of silly. You're more like a silly. I didn't watch your set yet, but I'm saying, like, maybe that's – you wear many hats.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, a little bit of, like, a Renaissance woman in that respect because – I think a lot of the, like, anger in my stand-up, like, why things I want to talk about and express that come from, like, a dark place, is more, like, relationship-driven stuff instead of, like, my parents didn't love me, you know?
So what's I mean, but we can all, like, just reuse the therapy. when I fuck relationships up, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I have a shitty childhood that I'm making up for. And I'm not saying you have that. I'm saying, like, so just to give you guys kind of a quick breakdown of your looks. Right. You're like, you're tall.
Yeah, I'm like 5'7".
5'7", mm-hmm. Curvy,
yeah,
and exotic looking.
Yeah.
So
I'm
assuming dick gets thrown your way a lot.
It does, yeah.
And you're saying you have beef with that because you're terrible at picking the right dick.
Yeah.
So you have all these options of dick. So we can only blame you, right?
Yeah.
Let's blame you.
It's kind of my fault, yeah.
Let's go to the Shibley store. So Shibley is walking down the dick aisle.
Uh-huh.
There's all these dicks. And she's going, that dick. And she has to return these dicks because they're bad dicks.
I got to take them back to the dick store. You know what it is? I'm very shallow. So I like very pretty guys, but that doesn't mean
pretty
they're good
how?
People.
Like Justin Bieber type?
Not really
Justin
Bieber.
We
got
to grow up, ladies.
Bieber.
Come on. Why are you liking dudes that are effeminate? At least Justin Timberlake has a beard. I can get on board with a dude who can grow a beard and be manly.
I like the beard. I like the Viking type.
Okay.
Like pretty Viking. So like you can have a beard, but you've got like a pretty face underneath.
So you want to bang dudes hotter than you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're trying to always outpunch your weight.
Right.
And then those dudes are usually the guys that'll fuck over people.
They're just not nice people.
Well,
or I don't have anything in common with them. So it's just very, it's only based on physical. There's nothing like deep about them.
How boring does that get though?
It does get boring, yeah.
People, the listeners of the show know, like, I'm a sex addict and I'm recovering, but I remember being like, it gets boring quick.
It does. Well, I'm in a relationship now.
Yeah, that gets boring.
So, that everything gets boring.
Everything's terrible.
It's nice because I'm not, you know, lonely and miserable, and it's not the bullshit and minutia of being single.
Sure.
Like, you meet people out and it's like, oh, haha, what did you do?
I think you're always looking for,
shut
this
up.
Is what made it hard, exactly. I think this made it hard to be in a relationship before I was in recovery, was that when you had someone that you depended on, you loved. Because I could be both. I could love somebody and also want to fuck a bunch of people. I think that's reality.
Yeah.
And you'd have somebody that you can count on, right? And then you go out, and then you're like, damn, this is fucking people when I already have someone I like. It's so much better than being single and being like, what does this mean?
I know.
Is this someone I could be around? Or?
Yeah. So it is very hard because you don't want to cheat and
you don't want to cheat
because you also don't want it done to you. You know, like you don't like, I know a lot of people go into like open relationships because you do want to have the freedom to do what you want and love somebody, but I don't want to share the person I love.
So
fuck
you're
that.
Selfish.
Yeah. But I think we all selfish. Are. I think everybody struggles with that in a relationship.
I think there's an adult way to do something like that. I'm not saying I'm condoning open relationships because I believe everything works for you got to be really. You got to be really mature
and
really
gotta
far along,
trust each other
of
and
course,
really, yeah.
To know, because there has to be something that's sacred, because that's the glue that's going to hold the relationship together.
Right.
Like, I love being domestic, and I've even dabbled in polyamory, where I have two people that share me domestically, and it could be really, really nice, but at the end of the day, you really got to put your big girl, big boy pants on.
Right.
Because you're going to see, I honestly, as far as I've come along, I don't know if you're like this, but I can handle the thought of my chick fucking somebody else. I can even think it's hot, but sharing her
emotionally,
it would be
that's
odd.
That's awful.
For me.
Yeah,
that would be
no,
odd.
That makes you want to kill yourself. That is not a good feeling.
So you're cool if your dude is banging someone else and you
no,
can watch it.
I'm not cool
as long
with
as it's not
either.
Emotion.
But I'm better. Like now that we're like in a committed relationship as well, because we didn't start that way. He was actually in an open marriage when I met him.
Yeah.
And then that shit doesn't pan out because mm-hmm. you don't really want to share the person that you're with, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun to fuck someone on your own, but you don't
want to. Because that happens. The girl he's fucking besides you,
right.
he ends up with, and now he's
right.
with you. Yeah.
Right. And so it just gets too muddled and complicated. But mm-hmm. I would much rather, if there was going to be cheating that happened at all that I was going to find out about, I would much rather it be, oh, I was drunk, and it was like, I mean, when you fuck someone and you meet them out when you're drunk, it's like 5 minutes of your life. If
sure.
you really think about it,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dragging something out and texting them all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
and like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It takes up a lot of your headspace and your emotions
it's
and your sex. It's just like, it's too much, and that's hurtful. Like,
yeah.
actually having a long, drawn-out thing with somebody else behind my back, like, that would
yeah,
be
yeah.
fucking devastating.
I would much rather, I mean, I've been in situations where I would much rather, it's more of a turn-on to me to tell you about what I'm doing. If I got,
yeah.
I used to date this girl, and we would have this thing where she would almost promote me going out and doing stuff to come home and tell her about it. Like, we built up this
right.
thing where, if I got blown in a bathroom, I would come back. It was like a whole thing. It was like a part of the foreplay,
yeah.
which I thought was really interesting and also intriguing. But at the same time, I get, like you said, muddled waters, a little murky.
It does feel like, well, do you not care enough about me to be jealous about that? You know, like I would never want my boyfriend to go out and
really?
Be like, yeah, no, I would be like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I
went out and he's like, hey,
bad
this guy
about
looks,
it.
This guy might want to bang you or try this guy. Like I would just feel like he didn't care about me. You know?
But you can't see this. I'm not trying to sell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because come on, I'm trying to work for your boyfriend here. I'm saying, like, I could see your point, but I can also see the point of when something is purely physical, where it's purely like, hey, this is fetish. This is right. Me. I love you so much that the taboo of letting someone have you is so arousing that we gotta do it. That's what it really comes from.
Yeah.
Like, in that, if you pursue that, like, you pursue what your body feels when different things happen, you'll see, like, oh, this is all just mental stimulation in one way, shape, or form, right?
Just using somebody else to get you there.
Exactly. So
and
now
I can
you're
understand
the dude,
that for sure.
And you're in love, and that's that. You're traditional now.
Right.
So you probably were this fun chick, and now you're this boring.
You know what it is? I think it's always wanting that domesticity, because my parents were never married.
Okay.
So it was never like, they were never in love. My dad's never been in love with anybody. He's 60 years old. And
really?
My mom's 51 now. And
so that probably shapes a lot of your relationship
problems. I want that white picket fence and the house and the golden retriever. And, you know, I like that stuff because I didn't have it. I think it's fucking interesting. You know, like,
because
I want
never
that
seen
nesting.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, my mom's like, I don't really care to get married at all. Like, she doesn't really want to live with
a man.
So
she's even
like,
that way, independent.
Both my parents belong together because they both have the same mindset about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Almost disconnected from their emotions where I don't need to rely on anybody.
Yeah, but I have all of those fantasies. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Like, I know what my wedding dress looks like and I want two kids and I'm going to name them
really?
This. And, yeah.
Really?
But the fooling around when you're single, I just feel like you got to soak it up while it's there.
Yeah.
You don't. What,
you
what
like
am
you
I saving myself for?
Single?
A lot, yeah.
You think you did enough
a
to
lot.
Tide you over for the next 50
yeah,
years?
Yeah, and I think as a woman, like, it's harder to enjoy it and have a fantasy than it is for a guy. Because it's more dangerous for a woman. If I'm a dude and I'm fucking whatever, like, I'm not threatened by a woman's presence in my home or in their apartment.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, you mean from just a pure danger level.
Exactly. You know, I've been in situations where it's like, oh, this is going to be a hot scenario.
Yeah.
And then the guy just has to be nasty about it. It's not a fantasy.
Give me an example. Not trying to get in your personal
there
business.
There was a really bad situation one time, and I don't want to get too into it, but it was basically something that I had wanted to do for a long time, and it presented itself to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dude just ended up, like, lying about finishing inside me.
Oh, no birth control.
Oh,
okay.
And just
so
left me.
You didn't use a rubber?
No.
Okay.
And that's the other thing about being single is no one wants to use condoms.
Yeah, I don't want to use them.
But, you know, if you don't use condoms, you know, there's AIDS. There's all kinds of shit that you can get.
The herp,
you know, that you don't need that shit. And that's another thing as a woman, HPV, if you carry it, but I fucking deal with the...
Yeah, it's dormant
in me. Exactly. Like,
except
just
if you get the warts. The warts are a bitch.
Warts you can get. But, you know, if you, you know, as a woman, like, you get your shots, you can still get HPV and
sure.
you still need to monitor
it. Even if you
it.
Get that stupid shot, you can still get that
you
shit?
You can still, yeah, still gets past the goalie.
That's
it's
crazy.
A pain in the ass. What so it's not crazy. As fun as for a woman to be single. Like, it's fun, you know, it obviously it's fun to just go out
so,
and meet
so basically
someone,
this
but,
guy made it happen. He
yeah,
made
yeah,
the
yeah.
fantasy happen. But
right.
he just did something dumb.
It was cruel, actually.
He did it on purpose.
He lied about coming.
Because
and
he accidentally come and was like, oh, I don't want to be embarrassed.
I don't know. But
what guy wants to get someone pregnant? I mean.
Lied about it. And then I was like, okay, like, we kind of need to chip in for plan B right now. I'm not paying for this myself. I asked you if you had
a
condom.
Was he a new dude?
You lied about having a condom and now I'm here and we did it. And like, you didn't have to come inside me and you did. And you're lying about it.
Yeah.
And we hailed a cab like we were going to go. And it was it's a longer story than that. But basically. Shut me in the cab and ran down the street thinking he was going to give me money.
Oh, so he's just a loser then.
It was
so it's
a horrible
about,
experience.
It's not about your fantasy. It's not
right.
the fantasy's fault. It's you just picked a horrible dude to do it with.
But you have no idea. That's the thing. You're out
and you're
you
saying
don't
it's
know
different,
these people.
Just to clarify, so you're saying it's different for men.
It is.
Because,
absolutely.
Because if we're trying to fantasy out, all we have to worry about is the chick flaking or the chick being rude or being underhanded.
Right.
And you're saying that your physical well-being is always in question.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because he ran down the block. How am I going to catch a grown man?
Yeah, but
I don't have the stamina or the long
legs. I see what you're saying.
Like,
how do you not see them? Like, you seem like a pretty smart person. I don't know you that well, but you still seem pretty smart and instinctual. unless this dude was a first night meetup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't dating this person. This is like being single, going and having a one night stand with someone you met at a bar.
Okay.
And it's all fun and games until shit like that happens, you know?
Yeah. So you made a series of bad decisions that ended up, you ended up paying for all in one night.
Exactly.
Because there's tons of girls that let guys hit it without a condom, and then it's cool. They don't, they do their thing or whatever. Right. There's tons of girls that the guy goes and pays the plan B, or they go and they
But so many guys don't care, and they can get away with it. Because what am I going to do? Like, go beat his ass? Like, for a woman, it's easy to be taken advantage of. I can't take advantage of a man.
Yeah. How
am I going to beat his ass or something? You know?
I think, it's just, that's why women have the power of their vagina. Because that's your ultimate, that's like, hey, if you don't act right, you don't get this. You know, that's like the one thing of nature.
Well, that's like in a relationship. But if you're out, Yeah. I mean, again, like, you know, it's hard making smart decisions when, one, you're in New York City, where no one comes to nest. No one comes here to get married and settle down. Like, there's so many options, and it's so easy to keep it anonymous. Like, it's not like you're in your small town and you bang Sally, and now everyone that knows Sally down the block knows.
Thinks you guys are together,
Right. So it's so easy to be promiscuous and to not be thinking in healthy terms, to just go along with it. And again, like the condom thing, no one wants to wear condoms. So if you go home with somebody and they don't want to put it on, or they put it on and it doesn't feel good for them, and as
don't
a woman,
you walk out?
You know,
I mean, do you hate condoms that much too?
I don't care. I don't feel a difference. But if the guy I'm with is not enjoying himself because he's wearing a condom, and he's not coming because of it, and he's not going to make me come because I don't come from penetration. So what's the purpose of even fucking being here? How am I going to have sex with people? You know, like, it's hard. And then it becomes unhealthy and is dangerous, you know? So I'd much rather be in a relationship with someone who cares about my health and wants me to be happy and cares about me coming and being, you know, taken care of.
I think I know
than all of that bullshit.
One night stands lacks a lot of that. That's what you're saying.
Right.
And you're not gonna, and you're, as a woman, you're constantly rolling the dice because.
Absolutely.
That's why women hold on to bad relationships, because probably the sex, they're like, oh, well, the sex is good, so I have to stay. I know a lot of women that stay more than men when the sex is good.
It's sex is good and just being like, somebody cares. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just
you think they do.
Yeah.
You never know.
But you hope they do. But you hope that, you know.
So you're going to do fantasies with your dude now. That's the point.
What
did
you
say? Now you and your dude have to do the fantasies, because you are no longer single.
No longer single.
So now any fantasies that are done have to be within your relationship.
Yes.
So all the dudes out there, you see her out and about thinking you're going to get some no rubber love, it ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
She's
You learn.
So in your act, what do you talk about, though, when it comes to relationships? Now that you have a dude, and obviously you have struggles in that, we all do. I mean, the problems of being single end, and the problems of being in a relationship begin, right? So what kind of stuff do you talk about?
Well, the good thing about stand-up is the crowd doesn't know you.
Yeah.
You can use the same routine until you die, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so I talk like I'm still single.
Oh, so you haven't changed your act necessarily.
No.
Okay.
No.
So you still approach as a single woman on stage.
Right. And, you know, because my boyfriend, like, is divorcing and I met him as a swinger, like, I still make jokes. I don't make jokes about his open marriage in my stand-up.
Yeah.
I just talk like I'm a homewrecker.
Sure.
Like, I have a homewrecker character.
Ah.
Which is hilarious, you know, because you're trying to make light of something that's awful, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's comedy. I mean, it's always at somebody's expense. Whether it's,
sure.
And at this point, it's at my own, because I'm not painting a good picture of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's been kind of my shtick.
Do women not like you when you get off stage? Because you bring this character out?
I used to post a lot to my Facebook as kind of my platform. Like, a lot of people use Twitter. I always use my Facebook.
Okay.
And it used to get so many likes, like all my statuses about my married boyfriend. It was like my persona. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I did have some women, and I'm friends with some people who I used to babysit for. I'm friends with, you know, and I don't like being a phony. Like, if you know me in one part of your life, you should know me how I am all the time.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to hide who I am so that you don't judge me. Like,
yeah,
if you're
going to
judge me, I'd rather you judge who I am than thinking I'm Miss Mary Sunshine, Miss Susie Homemaker.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I guess what I'm asking is, like, when I've had jokes where I've talked honestly about being a philanderer and cheating, Maybe it's different for men. A lot of women in the audience, I could sense their tension.
Oh, I sense tension sometimes.
From the women, like, you could take my man, or you're,
yeah, I mean,
you,
with the,
or,
you know, through, like, if I was writing the statuses and my jokes on Facebook, I'd have people be like, you know, you need to, like, this isn't funny, da-da-da. And I've had people, yeah, I mean, I also tell jokes, like, I'll say things that are kind of edgy also about race or about fat chicks with small tits, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it feels kind of awkward because you know you're insulting somebody, but it's also the nature of comedy. Don't come to a comedy show.
Yeah.
Somebody is always going to be offended. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of people, like, you know, somebody last night was like, I really like that fat chicks with small tits joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's ballsy. That's edgy. You know, there's people in here who you could have offended and you said it anyway.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then I've had some people say, don't say that, you know? So at the end of the day, it's all about your own self-expression.
It's just that I think in this day and age, everyone's so fucking PC.
I hate PC.
It's just everyone. I mean, and I get it.
Like, it kills art. It honestly
does. I'm all
about
smart stuff. Like, you better, if you can be witty and be brutal, awesome. I'm in.
Right.
Get it. If you're pandering the lowest common denominator, then you deserve all the attacks that come upon you. But if you're witty about it and you're smart and you're saying something that's funny and honest.
Right. There's no way to argue with it.
Okay. I don't know what your bit is, but your bit is about fat chicks that have small tits. That's interesting. You know why? Because if you put all that weight everywhere else, how come I feel bad that it didn't go to somewhere that's plentiful, you
right,
know?
Right, exactly.
And the thing is, people see you and you have big tits, and they're like, well, not everyone could be you.
I think, but you know what it is? You're always going to have people who don't like you.
Sure.
People are going to hate you if you're too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who do you think you are?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Have you ever been cheated on before?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I've only had 3 legitimate boyfriends, like, where it was official, you know, with a label. By those 3, I have never been cheated on. I've had things where we're hooking up for like 2 years.
Uh-huh.
We're pretty much a couple. It's just there's no label.
Yeah.
And finding out that something else was going on. And it's fucking devastating.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Even though there's no label, it's devastating?
Yeah. Because again, like,
you get attached
physical
to
thing. I mean, if it's somebody I care about, who I think I could really see.
You care about a lot of people? Because, you know, there's such thing as a love addict. I'm not saying you're that.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, like, one thing I had found out, like, I call him an ex, but we had never put a label on it. He was also twice my age.
Uh-huh.
He was a slut bartender.
Yeah.
I was 18. He was about 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like crazy about this guy. And obviously, I know that he's this slut bartender, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're 18, and you hope for the best in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him too much trust, and people would kind of be
was he
like...
telling you you're the only one I'm with?
No, but
then there's no
you,
bad on him, though.
Right, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't change what you feel, even though logically...
But that's a you thing.
But the thing that bothered me was it was an ex that he had slept with. It wasn't some hoochie at the bar. It was someone he had a long history with, and they were in love, and he ended up sleeping with her again.
Yeah.
That, to me, is fucking horrible. Like, that's worse to me than you're drunk, you're off work at 5 in the morning, stumbling home with some...
I'm sensing a theme with you,
you know?
Where you much prefer was senseless sex as opposed to something that could threaten what's going on with you.
Right.
I mean, I guess I see the gray area. Like, I don't condone anyone taking anyone through the mill of emotions.
Right, that's horrible.
Especially when someone's 40 and a girl's 18. One, there's like zero in common. I don't care how well off mature you were.
Mm-hmm.
There's this dude. And if there is something in common, that's a problem for this 40-year-old man. If I'm a 40-year-old man and I'm bonding with an 18-year-old in a way where we're arguing or into the same things.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm not bringing her and molding her, then that's problematic. But also, if I'm going, hey, you know, you're the light of my life. Oh, girl, you're looking so good.
Yeah.
I don't talk like that.
Well,
really.
He was not saying that specifically, but he'd be mad if I was hooking up with someone.
Oh.
And it's like, how the fuck dare you be angry? And if you're jealous of
that's
me,
just sounds like an immature
somebody,
dude.
He is immature.
And you're already and you're 18, so of course you buy in and like you're invested.
But that's another issue is, you know, I'm an only child and I grew up with my parents and my dad had doorman hours, so he would be free a lot of the time during the day. And like, if I was off for the summer, I was always with my dad, you know, so I grew up with kind of my parents' old school taste of music and shows. And so that's my favorite stuff. Like, my favorite group is the Bee Gees. Mm-hmm. I don't know a 20-year-old boy who likes the Bee Gees.
Sure.
You know, like...
No, no, it's obvious when you relate to a guy that's a little bit older, right?
I was always used to speaking to adults because I was always around adults, mm-hmm. and I wasn't, like, pandered to or, like, you know, humored in a way. Like, yeah. I feel like I matured very quickly, and also, you know, I became an adult fast because, you know, I didn't go to college.
Sure.
I was in the real world working, and my mm-hmm. friends had a cushy little lifestyle.
What did you do
fancy
for work?
College. I was a waitress.
At this bar?
At this bar. At this dive bar.
And
I was seeing
as a
crazy shit.
Isn't that great? Like, as a girl, you could legit, if you look a certain way, you're 18. Like, yeah, sure, come in. When you're a dude, no one even look at...
You're the,
come into this
you
bar
think of the Justin Bieber scrawny, and that's I don't like that. And
yeah,
the people,
yeah.
I think, you know, you're young, so you must like this, and it's like... You know, I was 7 years old, like, in love with Keanu Reeves. Like, he was, like, 40. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So, I just, it was never my thing. So, it's hard meeting someone that you're compatible with because
I'm physically
young.
Well, I'm just saying, I love how you got a job in a fucking bar
at
18.
I was serving
stuff.
No
man at
18
could get a job at a bar at 18.
Never, no.
They would kick you out.
No.
But they go, oh, you're at least of age, so we can hit on you, and you, oh, yeah, come in. You're good. You're a chick? Perfect.
Yeah.
And so, you meet this guy, and that's that. What I find really interesting about the dynamic between male and female and what's always going to be at the end of time is that, in my opinion, always, women are the strongest of the genders. And anytime I ever have a woman in my family that's having relationship problems, I can always go, hey, most dudes are not fucking geniuses, right?
No.
Emotionally, we're dumb. We
so
don't.
So dumb.
And we have, unless you catch a dude who's on his A game, who's assertive and is a great listener, he's going to get at you. It's going to be problematic for you if he's really good at listening. Because that's when men are really good with women, is when they can actually listen. So when I talk to women and they come on the show and they're like, this fucking guy did this, you can always chase it back to what did you do to let this dude do that. And I feel like at the end of the day, now you have a dude who working out, I guess. I mean, he's getting divorced. That's
right.
A start in the right direction,
that's
right?
Good. Yeah, good for me. Yeah, definitely.
But you're still in a similar position where if this dude were to fuck his ex-wife,
right,
you would be devastated.
Oh, absolutely.
You would be over.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a similar position you've been in before where guys have these revolving relationships that already have investment, and a lot of these dudes are addicted to the feeling of being connected or whatever they perceive is connection, right?
Right.
So now they're connected with you. You're all... Oh, you're the guy. You're so beautiful. You're perfect. I can't. Let's go. Let's eat ice cream on the beach. Like, you're doing all these. They're not saying you're boyfriend, girlfriend, but you're doing all this boyfriend, girlfriend shit, right?
Yeah.
But on the side, he gets a text maybe from homegirl that he used to be in love with for 5 years, and he left her to be with you. And then these old funny feelings.
But not even left her to be with me. They just broke up before he knew me.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
She comes back,
these old
and it's
funny
like,
feelings.
Where do I stand, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't like that history stuff.
Mm-hmm. So do you think at some point you're probably going to have to start talking about that on stage, right? About
how
you feel about that and how you're going through? Because I think you're already kind of doing that, but now you're at a position where you're evolving into now you're going to be that woman for somebody. You are going to be the number one, the woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting transition. It hasn't been easy. Like, a lot of it is difficult.
Yeah, how do you – that's what's intriguing to me because I have found – because I've done a lot of freaky shit and been in a lot of alternative sexual lifestyles. And swinging, all that stuff I'm familiar with. To go from 100 miles an hour, and that's a 100 mile an hour thing in a sex life where you're swinging. That's exciting shit. That's like you guys are constantly with other people or you have a core group of people you're with and you guys are doing these things. And then you're going to go traditional. That must be difficult.
I think in their situation.
I mean, you specifically, I'm speaking.
Oh, I'm
hard
not
for
a swinger.
You.
I don't do that stuff.
You just were involved in their relationship just with him, but
I
you
was
knew
like
of
his
her.
Girlfriend and she had her own boyfriend.
Okay, so it was very separate.
They had their own. It was just done. They weren't really a thing anymore. It was pretty much on paper.
Okay.
And it wasn't like swinging like they had big orgies together.
Yeah,
it was,
all right.
I need a relationship with someone else.
I need to get through us. I got to be with somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And
all
that's
right.
Just over.
That
that's
makes
it.
Sense.
But they didn't start that way. They were monogamous for a long time.
Okay.
So, you know. I don't do that. I would never share
right.
my boyfriend. I would never
now.
Watch somebody bang my boyfriend. I would fucking have to kill somebody.
Yeah,
you So that's not my thing. So I'm not that 100 mile an hour.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense now that you're like, you went into it as his, even though you
we
knew
we were just
you,
seeing each other,
but you knew
but
you
I
were sharing him domestically,
right? Okay. Exactly. Right. So, but it wasn't as serious, and it was nice because he treated me so well, like I had a boyfriend, and then I could still do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know someone's married and they still have to see other people, you kind of assume that's dead. So it's like, look at me, the interesting thing. Like,
yeah, you're the
shiny new
thing.
It did make me feel bad that he was still with her because I was with him so much of the time and I could still do my own thing. So yeah. I was kind of having my cake and eating it too.
Because you're with other people
right.
if you wanted
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, I was
and,
going out.
And you were open about it
yeah.
or not.
Yeah,
whatever.
I didn't tell him, hey, I just banged somebody. But yeah. I went out and I did my own thing. I lived my life. I'm a young girl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not married. I'm not a mother to anybody. I'm
sure.
doing my own thing in New York City. That's it. And you know, they ended up not working out.
Yeah.
Go figure, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Being in loving relationships with other people doesn't make your marriage work. What?
Uh-huh.
So
does that
I was,
scare you for yourself? Because you
it is scary.
You have a tendency from what we've already talked about. I mean, we've been talking for 30 minutes now. We kind of can see that you have a thing where you want to kind of be in relationships with people,
I do,
but at
yeah.
the same time, there it's also found in a lot of gray areas of life, right?
Yeah.
So you now being number one girl.
Yeah.
Is that something that is going to be difficult for you to transition into? Because now it's a switch up, right? You know, like you said,
well,
you're the shiny thing, and now you're the thing, you know?
Yeah, he still makes me feel like I'm the shiny thing, though.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Like, he is always at my shows, and he's so supportive. Like, I'm the light of his life, you know? He wants me to have his babies. Like, he wants to just... He's
going
to
come inside you and tell
you? That's the thing. He's going to tell me. I'm going to mess up on my pills like I always do, and he's just going to tell me. But, No, it's good, and I don't worry about it. And a lot of people are like, well, he was a swinger. Don't you think that, you know, you...
He's not technically a swinger, though, from what you just said. I know swingers.
I mean,
swingers.
They have done swinger stuff, but then it just became, I'm dating other people.
Okay, so they started doing stuff together.
Right.
And then they're like, you know, I
there
really
was
don't
a
need
mix
to watch
of
you anymore, because I'm over
it.
Let's...
It was always that she always had another boyfriend, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just painful. That's just the end of your fucking marriage. You know what I mean? It's You're
Some
not spending time together.
Work, but if they're not spending time together, it's over. That's when it's really over.
If, you know, she lived across the country working. You know, like, I mean, it's just, where. What is your... It's just on paper at that fucking point.
No, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And that happens to a lot of people, and it does scare me, because I don't want to be judgmental of them, because... I understand that.
You don't know what they walk through.
Exactly.
I mean,
like, it's easy to be like, fuck his ex, you know? Because I love doing that. I'm a woman. I don't want to like his ex.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to be judgmental of her because I don't know what their situation really was at the time and how it led to those things and whatever.
Well, until you're in the dark with somebody laying
you
next to him at night, you don't know shit.
You don't know. So, you know, I understand why couples would do that. I don't want to partake in that, but I understand how it could be enticing to want to bang someone else. Or, you know, and still have the person you love and that you married and you have history with and you trust and you have security with. I understand all that. But, you know, it does worry me because I am somebody who has those fairy tales. I want to be married and have children and, again, white picket fence and all that stuff. But I see so many times that it doesn't work.
It's crazy to – I mean, it's great to want that. But then at some point when you're living in New York City, like you said, it's a transient city. People are here to get something, and that something isn't a wife and kids
right.
or a husband, even for women here.
No,
people are very
absolutely.
Driven here.
Yeah.
So if your end-all be-all is to find that, it's probably pretty difficult to not only be in a career choice,
so bad.
But also with someone. I mean, it's going to be an abbreviated – it's going to be there's a million ways to skin a cat. I'm not saying that that's not an attainable thing.
Oh, yeah. No,
it
but
totally
it's hard.
Is.
It's very hard.
But to be idealistic like you are, for that particular thing, it's you're in a difficult position to make that happen.
It is. I mean,
know?
When I was single, I was just so miserable. Like, it was a lot of random hooking up, and it's fun at the moment, but it isn't fulfilling because you're not with somebody you love. And all the time doing it, I wished I could have just had a boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
Not that I didn't, look, it's fun hooking up. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I would rather do it with someone I was in love with,
sure.
you know? And
it's hard to find people that actually deserve love, though.
Oh, so hard.
It's exhausting.
And you meet a lot of stupid motherfuckers when you're out, you know?
Especially if you're stupid. Like, I'm first guy to admit that if I've picked bad people, it's because I'm dumb at the time. I'm not thinking it out. I'm using it as an excuse to just have somebody.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm fucking ponying up to someone that's not to my taste, not to my speed, but they serve maybe one or two things for me where I just kind of go, well, those are good enough. And I've been that guy before that's done that. And it's not fair to them and it's not fair to me.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting to spend your time with anybody that isn't worth your time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And even having someone to go, that's my girlfriend. Okay. And because you think, I need somebody. I want someone to come home to. And you come home to some shitbag and you're like,
And I don't want to do that either. Like, I didn't want to do that. And... I just wasn't meeting people. Like, the people I would sleep with was, it literally was random. It was randomized. Like, it wasn't like I was trying to date these people, but I wasn't even meeting anyone I wanted to date, you know, like, you know,
where are you going? Where do you go out usually? I mean, you're a comic, so you're out at night. And then if you're a waitress, you're at a bar.
Right.
So everything's bar.
And even if I am working with nice people waiting tables, I don't want to date an actor. I don't want someone doing the same shit I do. Yeah, That's not exciting.
Yeah.
You know, oh, how was your audition? Didn't get it. How about you? Didn't get it. It's just depressing. I just want to date a normal fucking guy. So I wasn't, you know, just, I just wasn't meeting
some
anybody.
Some 40-year-old accountant, is that what you're saying?
Then I don't want that either. Like, you know, it's hard. Like, my boyfriend right now, he'll be 35 next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing is, you know, I want children. I can't have them with this kind of career.
Yeah.
Like I went to a good college and got a good paying job, great salary, and that's it. Like, I have to be traveling. I have to be light. I have to be kind of volatile, and I don't know where I'm going to be next month. You know, so it's hard.
It's very unstable. The career choice that we've
made.
So
unstable. And I don't want to have children and not be able to be like, okay, you can do soccer, you can do... I want to give my kids a smorgasbord of everything. Sure. Whatever, try these things, figure out what you want to do with your life. And then you have it from the time you're a kid up until whatever.
With no education, like you can speak of, not that you're not a smart person, but I know what you mean by that. You got to find a dude to support you. Now you got to find a sugar daddy. Let's find this fucking
sugar
daddy. Email me now. I will set you up. I'm going to set you guys up.
No sugar daddy. I would like to just, you know, if I could just get a sugar daddy, I could just have a baby now and that's it. But I don't want
You really
that,
want
you know.
A baby that bad?
I would like a baby, yeah. But I can't right now.
Yeah, that would be the dumbest thing you could ever do.
That's why I can't. But
maybe
like,
that's why
I
secretly
like,
you don't want to have condoms on.
I'm just like, I hope this random asshole.
The thought of it could happen.
No.
It could happen.
I definitely, I want kids, but it's just got to be, I need to be more stable with my career.
Yeah, of course.
Know, so.
Shit, man, enjoy this shit.
And a lot of people don't get that. They're why aren't you having babies? I'm like, do you not
you?
Know what
Where are
I
you
do?
From? Where are you from?
From New York.
Oh, who's saying that? What part of New York?
Family.
Long Island or what?
Bronx? Half Bronx and Manhattan, like Upper East Side.
Oh, okay,
all right. You know, I had two parents who didn't live together, so it would always be two
apartments. Because in fucking New York, man, I mean, you can be, there's chicks having babies of 40 out here.
Oh, yeah.
Because their career, they're about their career.
Yeah, one of my old teachers just had a kid, she's 50. She just popped one out.
I told my fiance this. I go, hey, I don't want any kids until I have X amount of dollars in the bank, and she's younger than me, and I go, you know, legit, you're good until about 35. Yeah. After that, it gets sketch. Like, you
it
know,
is
pop
scary.
Out a kid with a horn.
It
and
is
I ain't
scary.
Trying to have that happen.
Yeah.
So,
it's bad health
you got
the
some
mom
fucking
baby.
Time.
Yeah, I have time. But, you know, you don't want to be an old dad either. Like, my boyfriend's
35. Oh, dude, I got Islander blood, bro. That's on.
Because you don't want your
kid. I still run the mile in 550.
Yeah. You don't, but you don't want a dad. Like, you know, my grandfather was having kids with people until he was into his 50s.
Yeah, that's some
and
Charlie
he's
Chaplin
dead now.
Shit. Yeah.
He's dead now, and he has kids who are only
30.
No,
I don't,
wanna
be, I don't wanna
I
be
want
to be 50.
I don't want my kids to have to deal with
40,
losing a dad at 30.
40 as a man is a great age to start having kids. Because then, and this everyone's living to be 75, 80.
Yeah.
And they're 40, like when they're 40, you're going to be 70. Or whatever. No, when they're 30, you're going to be 70. And it's like a good... You look like a fucking grandfather. You look like a guy. Like, my mom had me at 18. My dad was 19.
Right,
they don't... I mean, I remember going to school and seeing the parents and then looking at my parents like, what the fuck were you guys thinking? Right. Go see Europe. Like, why would you shit kids out at 18 years old?
Yeah.
Fucking dumb. All my listeners, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Uh-uh. I think all people, women and men, women different amount. I think women should be required to sleep with at least 10 to 15 men before they get married, and men should be required to sleep with at least 20 to 25 people before they get married.
Why is it more for men?
Because men are stupid. I think women figure out right away, just like you, within the first five partners you've ever had, you probably figured out what you actually like. So it's not about a double standard. I just think that women are smarter than they figure out what they want.
Girls can figure out
and
faster.
Men think they need to fuck everything, and then they miss out on life if they don't, even though that's completely not true. Men need 20, 25 women, period.
Yeah.
Because they're stupid. You
I
need
think,
25 women.
Yeah. And it,
partners. You can be men, too. Try whatever you
want. Try what you want.
But when you settle down with somebody, don't fuck them over anymore.
Yeah.
Let's
and
be good
people,
to each other.
Some people, it's like totally not necessary. Like, some people are okay. Like, I have a cousin who's been with his wife since they were 14, and now they're 42, and like, happy as clams, you know?
Lucky
like,
them.
But I
ain't
think,
built like that,
I think
so.
It is, yeah, I mean, I see some people, like, who graduated the same year I did from high school, and now they're married, And it's just, okay.
There should be an IQ test, too, before when someone gets pregnant, before they get pregnant.
They should.
We should all get IQ tests.
Yeah.
And you should be stamped and say, hey, this person can procreate.
This person, yeah. It's kind of sad that just
that's coming from a guy with a terrible childhood. I'm telling you right now. Has to be done.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, where's the fire, though? Why? What's the rush? Why are you married yet? Why do you need to put that on paper just yet? I don't know. But you know what? It works out differently for everybody, so.
But you're looking to get married. You're looking to do all that shit right now.
Not at this age. Maybe, you
if
know.
If it comes about, you're going to do it.
I want it, but I don't want it like.
If this dude pulls the trigger in 4 months, school. I think you're going to say yes.
You think so?
I don't know.
This divorce should be final there. First. If I'm gonna
let's
get...
wait. Let's wait for that divorce to be final.
Let's do that.
What if he just
see.
Gave you a box and it said pending divorce?
And I'm just like, thank
you. It's a
little
slip. Awesome.
Great.
Instead of a promise ring, you get the divorce papers.
So glad this is going through, finally. Such a long process. We sound like awful people.
No, I think this is the most honest conversation anyone can ever have. And you
I
know,
so
if you're out home, you're at home listening to this, you know. This is the way it goes. And I have a lot of people, a lot of fans that write to me from Midwest talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the shit you need to be hearing. And I get it because I travel and do shows where I'll go and be in like – I'm in Detroit next week headlining. And I've been in Detroit a few times like on the outskirts of Detroit. And I meet people. And it's like the way it's set up is like there's the women under 23 smoking hot. The women over 23 have let themselves go because they all get married and they all have children. Same thing with the men. I'm not talking just to the women. And you realize when I'm meeting people, you're shaking their hands. They're like, I got to get home. My three kids.
Yeah.
You're 25.
Yeah.
You got three kids at home. I'm trying to go clubbing with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go do. Hey, it's funny out there. When they go clubbing, they play like the Electric Slide songs. You know those songs
right,
that actually have
course.
A dance to them?
Yeah.
And the whole place does it.
I love
and you're
that
like,
stuff,
I got to get out of here.
I think it's hilarious. I love it.
You want to laugh at it. Yes.
I love it.
But I got to have. Oh, that's when you know you're not in New York or L.A. Like. Or
yeah.
Chicago. Like,
oh,
oh,
yeah,
yeah
they're
yeah,
square
yeah.
dancing or whatever, do-si-doing.
Out of here.
Yeah, no, it's a different perspective if you leave.
You would fit in great. You would be like the ultra-liberal Midwest chick ready to be married. You'd be like a cool mom.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm
you
seeing
it
such
over.
The opposite. I just shot a reality show with Ray J, like a dating show.
Yeah.
And I pretended to be single the whole time. And just to be on TV and have a reel with Ray J on it. And it was like so interesting because the guy on it was Midwestern, corn fit, white boy. And all the other girls on the show were Midwestern white
girls. Are you racist
girls.
To white men? Are you like one of those women that are prejudiced in dating white men?
Well, I don't think it's prejudice. That's just my type. Like I make a lot of jokes about
oh,
like.
You only date black men.
Oh, I love white dudes. I like Vikings.
Oh,
we've covered this.
Oh, yeah,
but
Vikings,
I make jokes
right.
because I date guys who look just like my dad. Like my dad looks like Barry Gibb. Like
yeah,
I think
yeah,
Barry
yeah,
Gibb's
yeah.
beautiful.
I love how
but that's you know, that's my type.
True
I don't call
references.
It racist, you know.
I love it. I like that. No, I'm saying that's great because it's usually reversed nowadays because it's like trendy to date a black guy now, right?
I'm not. Yeah, I don't think you should be trendy about what
neither
you
do
like.
I. You
and
should like what you
don't
like. Try everything.
Because people think you sound like a Nazi. You're like, I like blonde dudes. Okay, you know, it sounds bad coming out of your mouth, but that's what I like. I'm not going to lie to make myself more palatable for you.
You definitely should be more open. You should be trying all kinds of flavors.
Oh, I've tried everything, but I know what I like. I like.
She went to the buffet, and she knows.
I like pink pee-pee.
She likes that.
And I don't know. I just like white guys. That's it.
There
you
go.
You
okay,
know?
Thank you. Someone on the show that actually supports dating white men. Thank
I do.
You.
I'm being
thank
honest.
You. Yes, but, good for the honesty.
That's it. Well, my mom just likes white guys. My mom is all, it's all black Puerto Rican women who are like, well, meet our white boys. Wow, where they came from. And I'm just like, wow, all right, look at you, Blondie. Like, it's just interesting because it's a rarity. Like, I lived in the Bronx for a good part of my childhood.
Sure.
I went to school in Manhattan, but it was all black and Hispanic.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know white guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to high school and I was like, where the fuck do you guys come from?
Now you're in.
So it seems very generic. White people seem generic, but not when you're not from somewhere
not
that's fucking
you're never
white.
Around them. Yeah, of course.
So there, it's exotic to me, even though you'd never call white people exotic. You know what I'm saying?
No,
people think
exactly.
It's racist. It's not racist. It's
not
it's
racist.
Just, it's recessive traits. Blonde, blue eyes is like, wow,
yeah,
where'd that,
it's
you know.
The same reason why
yeah.
I don't get with Asian women because I'm raised by Asian women.
You're used
and
to
people,
it.
And people are like, come on, dude, that's like exotic, like Asians. Like,
Asian,
you know, what, especially
wow.
white dudes. Like, I
oh,
mean,
white guys. I have material
oh,
about that,
it,
yeah.
Asian. Dude, I'm not in. I'm raised by Asian looking women.
I have a bunch of material about white guys loving Asian women.
It's the reverse. Like for yeah. you, because your dad's all white, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of, you know, I'm this is kind of reminds me of home.
I don't know. I don't know. what it is, but like it works out. It's just he's also good looking. Like he's very, he's always in shape. He's got more hair on his head than the guys I've dated who were like 30. Like,
yeah.
You know, so it's just.
That's why he's still banging.
That's what I'm saying. At 60. So I make a lot of incest jokes about my dad and stuff like that. So it's, it gets creepy, guys, but it's funny. Because look, people are going to make the jokes about you. So sure. I'd rather poke fun at myself before people have the chance
to beat everyone to the punch.
Because I used to just date dudes and people would be like, oh, he looks just like your father. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And then I'm like, oh my God, he does.
Yeah.
And then they make fun of me. And it's like, you know what? I'm taking matters into my own hands. I know they look like my dad. I'm
going to
joke about it and make bank off of this idea, you know? That's what you got to do. You got to turn your, you know.
Tell everybody where they can find you. Give them all your handles and whatnot. All
right. So I'd love it if you could like my Facebook page, which is Chablis Quarterman. Just look me up.
Spell that shit for them.
I got a hard name.
It ain't easy.
C-H-A-B-L-I-S. It's my first name. And then Quarterman is like quarter and man, 25 cents a man. So it's Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-M-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Chablis Q. And Instagram is at Chablis Quarterman, my full name. That's basically it. I got a website, nice. ChablisQuarterman.com. And then I have a show coming up at Lovecraft Bar with Maya Klosner called On the Rocks with Maya and Chablis.
Mm-hmm.
Lovecraft Bar, May 17th at 8 p.m. It's free. It's a restaurant. You're obviously going to buy shit when you get there. But there's no cover. There's no drink minimum. You just go and you have fun at the show.
Awesome. We had fun.
Yes.
It was good, wasn't it?
Woo!
Yeah. For cold, just a cold seating. That's the girl, Chablis Quarterman. Chablis, 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 motherfucker. Chablis, if you're listening, thank you so much. You were great. I really appreciate how flexible you were and how you came right in here and did your damn thing. And women like you make this show great, and I cannot thank you enough. Everybody, please go out and support Chablis. Support what she's doing. Go check her shows out. Give her all the follows that are necessary at the places she told you to follow her at. Yeah, and just appreciate. That being said, email the show, slampigpodcast@gmail.com. I got an email here from Dana. Dana says, Josh, you do so many great things for – what's this word? Oh, for society and for the for the female population. Thank you. Well, Dana, thank you. A lot of spelling errors, but I'm cool with that. You probably were writing while you were driving your car. And it was on your phone. But I hope you lived. And thank you for the kind words. SlampigPodcast@gmail.com is the show's email. You can follow us, Slampig Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Like us, follow us, all that cool stuff. That's another week down. Another week, another great guest. We're fucking killing it, bro. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for the email again, Dana. And all of you, don't hesitate to ever email the show. Even the bad ones I'll read. I don't care. I'm trying to make sure everybody has some kind of a voice. Even if your voice is trash. All right. So I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And I'll be here the next time you hear from me.